publication on Thursdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who has taken away the shadowy night by His power and brought the sight-giving day through His mercy. He has clothed me in its brightness and given me its favor. O Allah, just as Thou hast spared me for this day, so also spare me for its likes. Bless the Prophet Muhammad and his household, and torment me not in it and in other nights and days by allowing me to commit unlawful acts and to clothe myself in sins. Provide me with its good, the good of all within it, and the good of everything after it, and turn away from me its evil, the evil of all within it, and the evil of everything after it. O Allah, by the protective compact of Islam, I seek mediation with Thee, and by the inviolability of the Quran, I rely upon Thee. By Muhammad, the Chosen, Allah bless him and his household, I seek intercession with Thee. So recognize my protective compact, by which I hope my need will be granted. O most merciful of the merciful, O Allah, decree for me on Thursday five things, which none embraces but Thy generosity, and none supports but Thy favors. Health through which I may have the strength to obey Thee. Worship by which I may deserve Thy plentiful reward. Plenty in my state through lawful provision. And that Thou makest me secure in the places of fear through Thy security. And placest me in Thy fortress against the striking of worries and sorrows. Bless Muhammad and his household. And make my seeking his mediation as an intercessor give profit on the day of resurrection. Surely, Thou art the most merciful of the merciful.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Dear friends, salam, welcome. This is today's special from IRIB English Radio. I invite you to join us and learn a little about jealousy in the view of Islam. Today, Wednesday, is the 4th of Rabiul Thani, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 19th of the month of Aban, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 10th of November, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's open Allah's book, the Holy Quran, and listen to verses 7 to 8 of chapter Yusuf.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Laqad kana fi Yusuf wa ikhwatihi ayat.
Certainly were there in Joseph and his brothers signs for those who ask, such as,
إِذْ قَالُوا لَيُوسُفُ وَأَخُوهُ أَحَبُّ إِلَىٰ أَبِينَا مِنَّا وَنَحْنُ عُصْبَةٌ إِنَّ أَبَانَا لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ
When they said, Joseph and his brother are more beloved to our father than we, while we are a clan. Indeed, our father is in clear error.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
How does man's envy lead him to fratricide? The brothers of Yusuf threw him into the well in order to become dearer to their father, but they became hated. Doors were closed in order to pollute him with sin, but his chastity and innocence were well demonstrated in this trying circumstance. Neither did the well, servitude, prison, palace life, or any of these conspiracies exert the slightest influence on Allah's will.
Reflecting on different Islamic topics, short commentary of the Holy Quran, hadiths of the infallibles, lessons from the life of the infallibles, all in today's special from IRIB English Radio.
Jealousy in the view of Islam. Envy or hasad in Arabic may occur as a result of enmity, pride, or self-admiration, love of leadership, or impurity of the soul. Of these enmities, the most serious cause, as it leads to malevolence, and this in turn causes men to thirst for revenge and drives him to gloat over any calamity that may afflict his enemy. Envy is one of the deadliest diseases of the heart. And there is no medicine for the diseases of the heart except through knowledge and deeds. The knowledge that will treat the disease of envy is to know, without any doubt, that envy is lethal for a person's worldly life as well as his religion. Additionally, the envier would share with Satan and the rest of the disbelievers a love for crisis to befall the believers and for blessings to leave them. These are evils in the heart that devour good deeds and erase them like the night erases the day. The person who suffers from envy in his life is tortured by it and will always be in sorrow every time he sees the blessings of Allah upon the envied person.
Dr. Fakhr Rouhani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bin istayin. One of the abominable characteristics, or immoral characteristics, is jealousy. In order to suppress the feeling of jealousy, some other things should be done. At the same time, first of all, this person, I mean, the person, him or herself, should be determined to control him or herself in order not to feel jealous about others. And at the same time, those people who are around him, such as, for example, his family, or, for example, his teachers or mentors, and the whole social situation around him, should treat him in such a way not to trigger his sense of jealousy regarding others. In this connection, we find that sometimes jealousy leads to very critical situations. In the Holy Quran, we find that among the two sons of the Prophet Adam, Abel and Cain, Cain killed Abel because of jealousy, because of feeling jealous. And we find that in the Holy Quran, it's indicated that we have to take refuge in the divine stronghold because of the effects of jealousy. At the same time, we find that in the conduct of the 15th Infallible Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salam, we find that once he indicated to some of his companions that he treats, some of his children in a special way in order that they wouldn't feel jealous about another one, the subsequent Imam, that is the 6th Infallible Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam, in order to prevent them from having such kind of feeling, Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salam treated all of them, quite respectfully, in order to prevent any kind of or any sense of jealousy to be developed in any of his children.
I've been waiting, I've been hurting, 'cause I've been falling, I need your help. My heart is breaking, so tired of crying. Lord, I'm calling, I need your help. Astaghfirullah.
This is IRIB English Radio. Today's special: Steps to Overcoming Envy. One step is keeping your focus on your goals. You must first have goals in order to stay focused on them. Your goals don't have to be major accomplishments. They can start small and lead to bigger goals. If you want to lose weight, get healthy, become wealthy, go on vacation, and etc., start off with writing a goal. Start with short-term goals such as exercise for 20 minutes daily, eat more homemade meals, and save up $1 a day. Then envision and write down your long-term goals such as lose more weight in 6 months, reduce need for medication, and have $20,000 in bank account. Keep the focus of your goals on increasing your happiness and making you a better person. Rather than impressing others, do things because you want to feel good, not because you feel bad about your life. I'm just thinking about harmful effects of jealousy. I think one of them is that jealousy burns all good deeds. Brothers and sisters, jealousy is discouraged in Islam. And this hadith, I want to tell you, states clearly that the jealousy factors can burn all the good deeds of a person. The hadith is this: beware of jealousy, for verily, it destroys good deeds the way fire destroys wood. Jealousy turns a good person into an evil. Jealousy is such a dangerous disease that can turn a good person into evil. The same has happened to Iblis, Satan. When Allah ordered angels and Iblis to prostrate Adam in respect and honor, angels did the same as said by Allah, but Iblis directly refused the order, because he was jealous of the status Allah has given to Adam.
Sometimes jealousy, this disease of the heart, it's much more severe and much more dangerous than a physical disease. Sometimes a person has heart disease, a person has cancer, a person has a diabetes, a sickness, only they are hurt and they're not hurting anyone else. But there are some diseases that the person who is jealous, they hurt themselves, because the hadith says that a jealous person will never be satisfied. The jealous person, every day he looks at that person, he's going to wish for the ni'mah of that person to be removed. It's going to cause harm to that person, and he's going to cause harm to himself. The person is always going to be distressed. The person is always going to be depressed. So this is why it's a dangerous disease. And it causes harm. Sometimes a jealous person, they go and they physically harm another person that they're jealous of. And other times, there is the evil eye, the hasad. The evil eye where you jinx another person. Now, some people, we say this is superstition. This is something that is hard to accept. It's hard to believe that it takes place. But it does take place. Now, I don't know what's the correlation between a person who is jealous and another person losing what they have. But this is something that happens. And Allah mentions it in the Quran. The evil eye, Allah mentions it in the Quran. With the kuffar, what they tried to do with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. Allah says in the Quran, وَإِنْ يَكَادُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَيُزْلِقُونَكَ بِأَبْصَارِهِمْ. The kuffar, they try to have you slip with their eyes. They look at Rasulullah in a way, with their jealousy, with their hatred towards Rasulullah, the hasad towards Rasulullah, that they want Rasulullah, something bad to happen to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi. So, this is something that does happen. Allah mentions it in the Quran, and Rasulullah speaks about it in the Hadith. And the roots of this evil eye go back to jealousy.
Dear brothers and sisters, that was all for today's special. This episode of today's special, may Allah bless you all. Have a nice time. Fi amanah.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and let us reflect on a wonderful maxim from Imam Hassan Askari, peace be upon him, the 11th infallible heir of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. The wine drinker is like an idolater, for his disobedience of God.
Join us in this journey, IRIB English Radio.
please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/EM.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. Dua or supplication is something that is part and parcel of a Muslim's, or should rather be part and parcel of a Muslim's daily routine. It is one of the fundamentals in Islam. It is one of the principles of Islam. It should be, as the Hadith says, the greatest of weapons in the artillery of a Muslim. But when it comes to dua, there are certain etiquettes, there are certain times, there are certain states and opportunities that a person should wait for in order for a particular dua to be made. Now, this is not to say that, oh, we should wait every single time or to make one, but no. We should make dua so that this state of making dua comes to us. Understand that. And in this tradition, the Imam alayhi salam mentions that. The Imam is saying that, yes, dua is important. But there are certain times and there are certain instances when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His special mercy, that concept or that name of Rahim, because we know that there is Rahman and there is Rahim, both coming from Rahmah. Rahman is general, Rahim is specific. So there may be times where a person is encapsulated by that Rahim, the nature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is in that particular moment where a person has to make extra effort in order to supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because the doors of Allah's mercy, that special mercy, is open for this individual. Allah has granted him a gift because he is obviously deserving of that gift. Sometimes it's because a person deserving. Sometimes it is as a trial. Sometimes it's just to give a person an opportunity to come back. So we do not know why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives it to a particular person. There's definitely a reason. But it's up to that person to make use of it. So the Imam alayhi salam in this regard says that what are the signs of that particular moment where a person should seize and then take his entire existence towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where he should open his arms and open his heart towards the supplication of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Imam Ali alayhi salam in this regard is reported to have said that the tears in the eyes and the fear in the hearts are part of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. this is important, that when you find them, that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses you with this state, with this condition, seize the opportunity. So when you are given this, when you have the tears in your eyes, when you have this fear in your heart, again, it's not fear, a normal fear, it is, you know, a special type of fear. When you have that in your heart, seize opportunity for making supplication. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us many moments like this. May we be worth and worthy of having such moments like these, and obviously having the ability to seize these moments, inshallah. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no
بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
فدعوتك ربي بقرآن جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناديتك أرجو غفرانا يا من ينجينا إحسانا ودعوتك ربي بقرآن.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host Mahdi, and we are joined by a Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam, brother Mahdi, and assalamu alaikum. Dear listeners of this program, I'm glad to be with you as always.
Thank you, brother. Well, the audience, as you may know, this program, Let's Recite the Quran, consists of several Quranic parts. First, we're going to talk about a famous Quran reciter, and then we're going to listen to a recitation recited by that famous reciter, and after it, Brother Muhammad is going to analyze that recitation. Beside these parts, we're going to have some other interesting Quranic parts, which will be presented to you. So, please stay tuned.
إن هذا القرآن يهدي للتي
هي. Today we're going to listen to a recitation by Brother Amin Puya. He's an Iranian Qari who was born in Tehran, the capital of the Islamic Republic of Iran, in 1978. At the age of 8, his father started to teach him Quran recitation. Around 6 years, he imitated Sheikh Abdul Basit's style, and then he followed the style of Sheikh Shahat Muhammad Anwar. After learning Tajweed at an advanced level under the care of Dr. Mohsen Mousavi, he listened to the recitations of some prominent reciters such as Mustafa Ismail and Ahmad Shabib. This prominent Quran reciter has traveled to some countries to participate in international Quran recitation competitions, and he has managed to rank first in some of them, including India, Russia, and Tunisia. Dear audience, now it's time to listen to the recitation of verses 7 to 10 of Surah Al-Muzzammil, recited by Brother Amin Puya. Let's enjoy it.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
واذكر اسم ربك وتبتل إليه تبتيلا.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, you're still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. And what you just listened to was recitation of Surah Al-Muzzammil, verses 7 to 10, recited by Brother Amin Puya. And our Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the phrase Finnahari, and also in the word Inna, the first word of verse 7, we have a ghunna of noon, the nasalization of noon. We have to hold the nasal sound of noon for two vowel counts.
Because it is mushadda.
Yes, because of the tashdeed. The first noon is part of the word. The second noon in finnahar, because we have a sun letter after alif lam, the sun letter becomes mushaddad. And because it's a noon, you have to apply ghunna to it for two vowel counts. إِنَّ لَكَ فِي النَّهَارِ سَبْحًا طَوِيلًا. So we have two ghunnas. In the word سَبْحًا, we have قَلْقَلَ of ba, because ba is ساكن. Ba is one of the letters of قَلْقَلَ. You have to make sure that the sound of ba does not get trapped in the place of articulation of ba. You don't hold it and then release it. In fact, what you're supposed to do is that the moment that you pronounce the ba, the articulator of pronouncing ba touches the place of articulation of ba, it quickly comes apart. Sabahan, we have the two lips, the upper lip and the lower lip. They come together, and right whenever they touch each other, they come apart. Sabahan tawila, and then we have ikhfa of nun sakina in this phrase. Sabahan tawila. Sabahan tawila. Okay, we have approximation of ta along with the nasalization. What does approximation mean exactly? We have letters that are called approximants in English, in Arabic, in other languages. For example, W is an approximant. Y, the letter Y is also an approximant. Okay? U, for example, U. There is no place of articulation where, you know, the sound is trapped either partially or completely. This is an approximant. When applying ikhfa, you're doing about the same thing. You're making the articulator get close to the place of articulation of
the letter of
ikhfa. When you pronounce pronounce, for example, Y, you make it get close to the place of articulation of J. Okay? We could say the fricative and the hard palate. Okay? For example, regime. In the word regime, we have this sound. Okay? When you approximate this sound, it becomes a Y. Yes. See? If you bring it close together, it becomes a G. Yes. Or the R. More. See? We're not making the tongue touch anywhere in the mouth. It only gets close to raw sound. Right?
Yes, that's right.
In Ikhfa, we have to do the same thing. But this time, we have to approximate the letter after the Nun Sakina. سبحان طويلة وهجرهم هجرا جميلة. Okay, in verse 10, let's skip to verse 10. وصبر, we have a ra with ترقيق because it's a ra ساكنة preceded by a letter with كسرة. And in the word, or actually in the phrase wahjurhum, we have the ha sakina. This ha should be pronounced just like a letter of rakhawa with the necessary amount of timing.
That is the most.
The most timing among the three kinds of letters, which are rakhawa, the weak letters, shidda, the strong letters, and tawassut, the moderate letters.
Yes.
If you say wahjurhum, wahjurhum, you don't, you know, hold,
observe the timing.
Yeah, you hold the sound of ha enough, then that's incorrect. Wahjurhum, the ra in this word, wahjurhum, is a ra sakina preceded by a letter with a dhamma. So we have tafkhim of ra. Ra has to be pronounced thickly. Wahjuru, with the root of the tongue raised.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Wahjuruhum. Hajaran jamil. Again, we have qalqala of jim. The jim is sakin. And just like the ba, we do the same thing. Right whenever the articulator touches the place of articulation of jim, it comes apart. Hajaran jamil. The ra also has tafkhim again, because it has a tanween al-fath, which means it's a fatha plus a nun sakina. And we have a rule of nun sakina because of the tanween, which is ikhfa of nun sakina, which we talked about. And we said that you have to approximate the place of articulation of that letter of ikhfa, which
that
is after
jim, yeah,
the nun sakina, which is jim. Hajarain jamila. You could predict that after this nun sakina,
what letter
will be? Jim. And finally, Jamila. Jamilan becomes Jamila, which is Waqful Ibdal.
Transformation.
Or substitution.
Thank you, Brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. That was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at EnglishRadio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Please click on the tab Call of Islam, and there you can listen to this program as well as other programs of this radio. Until next time, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll have a glance at Kumail's supplication and we'll discuss a commentary on that. We'll be back in a few seconds, so stay tuned.
Allahumma inni ataqarrabu ilayka bidhikrik wa astashfi'u bika ila nafsik wa as'aluka bijudika an tudniyani min qurbik wa an tuzi'ani shukrak wa an tulhimani dhikrak.
As you have been previously with us, dear listeners, the part under discussion was this phrase of Imam Ali alayhi salam in this supplication. وَأَسْأَلُكَ بِجُودِكَ أَن تُدْنِيَنِي مِنْ قُرْبِكَ. I ask you through your munificence to bring me nearer to your mercy. وَأَن تُوزِعَنِي شُكْرَكَ وَأَن تُلْهِمَنِي ذِكْرَكَ. To bless me with gratitude to you and to inspire me with your remembrance. As we said in the previous program, the commander of the believers is asking through Almighty Allah's munificence three positions. Positions of nearness, gratitude, and remembrance. And since Imam Ali alayhi salam knows the extent of munificence and mercy of the Almighty Allah, and knows that reaching and obtaining these positions is not possible but only through Almighty Allah's benevolence and His mercy, He is telling us the supplicants should ask His munificence and mercy so that these attributes of Allah would be apprehended in our lives. And as a result, it would enable us to reach the heavenly positions. Now, in the previous program, we had a quick look at one part of Arafah's application. In order to understand just a small aspect of his munificence and his mercy. Now, I think it is worthy as well to review some parts of Abu Hamza Thumali's application, which was the prayer of Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam on Ramadan nights. It helps get a bit of Almighty Allah's munificence, I hope. Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, in this supplication, in one part, says, Sayyidi, ana al-saghir alladhi rabbayta. O my master, I am the little that you have brought up. Wa ana al-jahil alladhi allamta. And I am the ignorant that you have taught. Wa ana al-dhal alladhi hadayta. I am the straying that you have guided. وَأَنَا الْوَضِيعُ الَّذِي رَفَعْتَ. I am the humble that you have given rise.
Oh Allah, I seek to draw myself nearer to you through your invocation, and I pray to you to intercede on my behalf, and I beg you by your benevolence to draw me nearer to you and grant thankfulness towards you and inspire me to remember and to invoke you. Oh Allah, I ask you begging submissively, humbly and awe-strickenly, to treat me with clemency and mercy, and to make me pleased and content with what you have granted me, and cause me to be modest and unassuming in all circumstances. Oh Allah, I beg as one whose neediness is extreme, and who supplicates his knees to you, and whose desire for that which is with you has become great. Oh Allah, great is your kingdom, and exalted is your greatness. Your plan is secret, your authority is manifest, your might is victorious and subduing, and your power is
prevalent throughout, and it is not possible to escape from your dominion. Oh Allah, apart from you, I do not find anyone able to pardon my sins, nor to conceal my shameful acts, nor do I have anyone except you to change my evil deeds into virtues.
أَنَا الْخَائِفُ الَّذِي آمَنْتَ. I am the afraid that you have given security. أَنَا الْجَائِعُ الَّذِي أَشْبَعْتَ. I am the hungry that you have satiated. والعطشان الذي أرويته. I am the thirsty that you have watered. والعار الذي كسوته. I am the naked that you have dressed. والفقير الذي أغنيته. I am the poor that you have given affluence. والضعيف الذي قويته. I am the weak that you have given strength. والذليل الذي أعززته. I am the lowly that you have given might. والسقيم الذي شفيته. I am the ill that you have cured. والسائل الذي أعطيته. I am the beggar that you have donated. والمذنب الذي سترته. I am the sinner that you have covered. والخاطئ الذي أقلته. I am the guilty that you have excused. وأنا القليل الذي كثرته. I am valueless, but you have evaluated. والمستضعف الذي نصرته. And I am the helpless that you have helped. وأنا الطريد الذي أويته. And I am the expelled that you have bordered. A devotee servant can reach Almighty Allah's nearness by resorting to His munificence and mercy. And all these sentences, all these phrases in these two parts of the supplications, and as well as all of our other supplications, are teaching us how to ask the Almighty Allah to be granted. From what point of view we should have look at our belongings. The interesting thing is that when Imam alayhi salam says, أَنَا السَّائِلُ الَّذِي أَعْطَيْتَ, I am the beggar that you have donated, the least that the Almighty Allah has given His servants is that He has enabled them, He has let them to talk to Him, He has let them to have supplications. And this is one thing that has not missed in the supplication of Abu Hamza Thumali. Brothers and sisters, there is more to be discussed regarding these positions, and inshallah we'll do so in the next programs. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
From the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
she dressed that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away. Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray five times a day when so many others have strayed, smiling he would say, I am a Muslim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of God. Welcome to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. With me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. Going to talk about the unlawful gains according to Ayatollah Khamenei. Let's take a listen to a short biography and we'll be back.
A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtaza Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid, according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up to 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and his teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that.
Sheikh Javid, we are talking about unlawful gains according to Ayatollah Khamenei, and let me ask you this question. if the cargo contains the meat of not ritually slaughtered animals, all right,
yes,
according to the Sharia and Islamic laws, is it permissible to transport it? And if there is any difference, is there any difference whether the receiver considers this halal or not?
I think I did mention from the I did say in one of the previous answers that it's not permissible to engage in trading such things, and of course when it comes to transport,